If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mandel, who's part of the Dragon Cast series, where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us.
Like and subscribe. Fuck off.
Hello, 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 and welcome everybody to the Sound of Succession, part of the Dragoncast series. I'm Jamie East, and hanging around like the threat of nuclear war, it's
me, Chris Mandel.
Hello, and we are here to discuss season 4, episode 2 of Succession. I didn't actually catch the title of this episode. What was
no,
the title?
No, I never do, because I feel like they don't really make a song and dance about it.
No, they don't. We'll come back to that in a second.
But before then, Jamie, you haven't said anything since I sent you my audition tape.
Yeah, about that, it was great, first of all. It was great. The hands, maybe a bit much, but we can solve them in a few years.
What did the focus group say?
The focus group, they were just old guys and twerps. They, nothing that can't be solved, I think, is the thing.
Oh, okay, that's good to know, because I was just hoping, it has been a while. I was hoping to hear back from you. So.
Can we just jump into that straight away? Because I've never felt so seen in my life. Anyone that has worked in television or the media or any form of creative art, my God, that screen test was excruciating. Now, I think I mentioned this boss of Sky Sports to you on maybe last week's episode, the guy
you
called
did,
Vic Wakeling. And yet again, I'm reminded of Vic Wakeling. So Vic Wakeling was the head of Sky Sports for many, many years. And he used to do this thing at Sky when he was in charge. He would screen test like maybe 20 people a month. Mm-hmm. All of them staff, all of them like runners or assistants or people from the kitchens. Anyone that he thought, they might look pretty good on camera. He would make you screen test for Sky Sports to be an anchor on Sky Sports News. He did it to me once as well. Like, I don't know.
Really? What year was this?
Oh, this was like, this must have been 2000.
Okay.
Maybe 2000, 2001 at a push. And so all these poor fuckers would have to put on their Sunday bests, go down to the studio and do some imaginary sports stories. And worst thing was, they would play live, they would stream them live around every screen in Sky Sports. Can you imagine the horror shows that you saw?
Why would they screen it to everyone?
I don't know, just the culture. That was, nowadays.
Like, what are you afraid of kind of thing?
Exactly. How much do you really want this kind of thing?
That sounds horrible.
I mean, nowadays you'd never do that. But like back then, it was kind of like, yeah, if you want to get on Sky Sports News, you got to do that. And at the time, it was kind of a big gig.
And did people get in front of the camera from just being in the right place at the right time?
To his credit, he did kind of like did make some stars. I don't know who they were, but.
That's what I was hoping, really, for my whole career, that I'd get spotted in the kitchen washing out my mug and someone would say, you should be presenting the Big Breakfast, not sitting here tapping away in your emails.
But her, round of applause to her for that acting, because it was...
Zoe Winters?
Yeah, Zoe. It was so pitch perfect. It was incredibly well done. It was...
Yeah.
Brilliantly observed. They must have sat down and watched a shitload of them of bad kind of screen tests, because it was just perfect. There was, I don't know if you caught it later, I know I'm skipping ahead, later on where I think where Greg and Tom are watching it alone in the office before Tom like passes the buck, you can hear her still talking in the background. I had to rewind it like 3 or 4 times because it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. Where she pronounced it Pennsylvania, and she was like, and over in Pennsylvania and cunt Carolinas. Did you hear that? That was amazing. It was so good.
So hard to act bad when you're a good actor like a good actor doing badly at something.
There must be some blooper reels from Kerry and Greg scene.
Also, I think. Just such a credit to them, where a lot of people have said, like, Kerry is going to, like, rise through the ranks. Maybe she'll be the successor.
Yeah.
And it's just so good to go the other way and go, she's actually really shit on camera, but she doesn't really know.
Shit on camera. And also, actually, she's a bit of a star fucker. That's what she wants to do.
Yeah. But I thought that was, really interesting. I didn't have her down as, like, wanting to do that. So it was such a surprise. No.
Right. My question, before we get into, like, the chronological stuff.
Yeah.
The question I got written down for Chris is, is Logan using her as a test for everyone, or does he genuinely want her to be on screen?
Oh, I think he's a classic big boss where he doesn't want to have to make decisions like that with people.
No, he doesn't want to make the decision.
And I think he is using her to gauge how much of a lickspittle Tom is.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was watching it, I just thought, I know Tom is a bit wet, but he can say, I don't think she's right.
Yeah.
Or, I mean,
he did kind of.
Yeah, but look, Logan's also going around saying the air conditioning costs too much. Why have we got all this pizza? The easy out is saying we're not hiring anyone. Like, it is, you know, there's this whole thing in this episode where he's walking around his kingdom surveying it, and it's like...
With his sunglasses on.
Yeah, and he's kind of like, that guy's only sending one email, and like... Look, this is such a... We haven't even got somewhere for me to stand and do a really big speech. We have to step on some boxes. You know, it's clear that the whole point is that, like, it's a lot smaller than it used to be. The glory days are over. So it's funny that he's sort of wrestling with, like, oh, how do I say no? It's like, you don't need any newsreaders. I thought it was a test.
I think he 100% knows exactly how bad she is. Given the fact that, in every episode, like multiple times, we've seen him slagging off newsreaders and people on screen. So there's no way that she would like slip under the radar, no matter how good she was at giving head. No matter how good she was in bed.
Like, it's also like, I mean, I don't know how this works, but like, I'm sure when they staff news channels, it's like, okay, you can come in and do weekend coverage, or you can come in and do filler
you start off.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't start on This Morning doing Dermot's job. Alison Dermot Hammond got to where he is from Alison hustling Hammond away. This is a good example, though. She's slowly been working away ever since Big Brother season 2. None of us saw this.
Rupert Murdoch. Yeah.
Well, as far as we know.
I mean, I'm going to say she probably hasn't, just to clarify, just in case Alison and her legal team are listening. We are not suggesting you have slept with Rupert Murdoch. I mean, you might have done.
I think she'd have killed him. Yeah, I didn't know that's what she wanted. And it's so interesting that your opinion of Kerry just changes that, like,
you're a bit naff.
You're a bit of an opportunist. And there's something a little bit pathetic. It's quite basic, I think. Rather than be like, I want to be like a director at the company. It's like, I want to present the news. Yeah. And when she smiled during the story about the shooting or something, or the child that died, yeah, you know, it was...
It was amazing. Amazing. Anyway. It reminds me of like, there was Emily Maitlis before she was... before she was like the national news, national treasure that she is now, used to do the like shifts at Sky News when I was working on graphics in Sky News. And she's right. gone down, she's gone down in legend. Yeah. Because on one shift, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this,
no, go for it.
But it happened on live television. So, when you know, you've got your earpieces in and, you know, the director and the gallery are kind of talking to you saying, camera two, cut into this, cut into that. And the map, you know, Q graphics, all that kind of stuff. She's reading out a report and all of a sudden goes, and now we're going to Justin. Justin, what can you tell us? Oh, sorry, Justin, we've got a report saying. It was so amazing.
So now they can't hire anyone there called Justin.
It was amazing.
In case that happens again.
Well, the thing is, we had like a business correspondent whose name was Justin, so she thought we were just cutting to the city to go and speak to this guy called Justin, who was like a proper bow tie, braces, kind of like the foxy dancing.
That's amazing.
Oh, it was amazing. Anyway, look, my goodness me, I digress. Let's rewind.
Back to the start.
What a fucking episode. How they fitted so much into this episode, I have no idea, because it felt really luxurious. I felt like I was bathing in Succession, because it was just like, oh my God, it's still going. It's all killer.
It was a full hour, 58 minutes.
Yeah.
They're not normally that. Last week was 45, I think. So it's a
whose episode was it, do you think? Who are you giving
man
of the match? Who are you giving character of the match to?
Well, I want to say Connor, because Alan Ruck was amazing in this episode. Oh. But I feel like next episode could be a Connor episode, because it's clearly the wedding, right? The wedding is the next day.
Is the wedding going to happen?
What? You cannot pass up that opportunity to do a Connor and Willa wedding. So I kind of want to say him, because I think he's always been on a Greg sort of tier of like the kick him when he's down, like the joke. But there's real, like, I thought there was real pathos like into this speech where he's like, you know, my superpower is that I don't need love, so this means nothing to me. It was just heartbreaking.
Brutal. Yeah, it was brutal, heartbreaking. And just shows actually he hasn't spent the past three seasons kind of like just like being a bit dumb and taking a shearing, not really getting the joke. He got every quip, he got every kind of dig, and chose to deflect, you know, to go into self-preservation mode.
It really makes you reconsider just how much he has withstood in three plus seasons at this point. And that, yeah, it's just, I just really feel for him. And even though he's sort of awful as well. Interestingly, Kieran Culkin did a big interview with Esquire, and he was asked to rank the Roys or the family, and he put Connor at the very bottom. He said he's the worst of them because he essentially bought a person, and that is beyond what, you know, in that, like paying a sex worker to be his friend, wife, and, you know, first lady. And I thought that was really interesting, because I think Connor is
one of the bad person,
the most emotionally damaged alongside Roman, but also the relationship with Willa. I mean, this episode, it was clearly on the skids, right? Like, it's not good. She left her own rehearsal dinner because she said
with all her mates still holding a glass of wine.
Everything's just very vivid at the moment.
It's just like, it's a beautiful life.
But she also was, you know, she was in bed at the end. Like, she comes back, and I think there's something about their relationship that is purely transactional. Yeah. There's also something there that he has something with her that no one else has in that family, which is someone to, like, be there for you at the end of the night. And
and I think they're, you know, both, I think they both... They're both kind of, a grenade was dropped in the rehearsal, and, you know, Connor spent all his time kind of like tracking her on his phone. It's like, oh, this is part of, this is just,
she's
like,
in an aquarium. It must be a
she's
drug
in an
thing.
Aquarium retail center. Is that a drug thing?
And then he said, she's in the river. Oh no, she's on a bridge.
But it was the way that he was kind of like, oh, this is just part of, this is just standard software. I think it comes built
in. I think it comes pre-installed.
And Shiv's like, no, it doesn't.
It doesn't. But you know, she's had a wobble, not for the first time.
But he had a wobble too. I think they both went their separate ways and reconvened at the end of the episode and went, you know what? I've got it. I've expunged. I've got it off my chest. I've said it out loud. Let's just do this thing. I think that's what the message was.
So I think he was the MVP because I just thought it just went further than it has so far. And I just loved that every now and then they do this thing with the camera where that you think there's three of them there and then they go, oh, no, Connor's still here.
Exactly.
Because they realize in this episode, they're having their whole private conversation, Shiv, Ken and Roman. And then they realize that Connor is a board member and he can actually help their cause.
Yes, exactly. And they need him. And he actually, he behaved quite businesslike. He did the right thing and he kind of like proved that he does have a say and does.
He just wants his money. He wants the deal.
He just wants his money, the same as the rest of them. Let's talk about the business side of things, because it was quite confusing for me that there was a lot of kind of like personal relationship stuff kind of getting aired. But the kind of heartbeat throughout the whole episode was the Matheson deal. We're now 24 hours before them or on the eve of the Matheson deal being signed. Right. And from out of nowhere, really, comes this kind of like, oh, actually, fuck it, let's just ask for more money. Where do you think it stemmed from? Because I think it's from... It's from the Tom divorce lawyer thing. Shiv just like saw absolute red and no one looks more.
Oh, that's
I love Shiv's pissed off face.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we saw her initiate. She gets the call from Sandy or she calls Sandy, goes out.
That's what
room.
I mean. She calls Sandy out the blue and I don't really understand where the crux of the whole angle came from.
Yeah. 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 Because we see the episode opens with Tom, it being revealed that Tom has got all the divorce lawyers.
Yeah.
In New York, all the bulldogs, Shiv calls
which
them.
Is what which is the second time that Logan's done that in this season, in this series, right? Didn't he do it with
We were talking about this morning. It's I can't remember if it had been in Succession before. I think it has.
Yeah, it has.
Wasn't
definitely.
It was with Kendall.
And it was when Kendall was trying to extrapolate himself.
What was his wife? Raya?
I don't think it was a marriage. I don't think it was a marriage thing. It was.
Oh, it was when Kendall went to the lawyer last season.
Yes, exactly.
And she said, "Yeah,
that was it." So it's a Logan. It's obviously a well established kind of billionaire's trick. One that I'll remember next time I have a border dispute with my neighbour.
Yeah, this is, and it's a bit of a trope at this point. I have a feeling it was in Fleischman is in Trouble as well. Certainly the book, if not the series. That this thing of like, I've spoke to all the lawyers, so they are engaged with me in theory, which means they can't engage with you. So Tom's kind of taken a leaf out of Logan's book. Logan advised him to do that, as we find out at the end of the episode. And yeah, that might be the spark that made Shiv think, actually, why am I doing this deal? Because what we see at the start of the episode is the three rebels watching PGM, which is Pierce's sort of news channel.
Yeah.
And they're sort of shooting the shit on how they could improve it.
Massive stinky dog Dookie.
One guy's too bold, talking about NATO, Ken's ideas.
Talking about Africa, sub-Sahara.
East Sahara, West Sahara.
You'd listen to that, right? You would not.
Homework the Show is the working title. And, you know, they've got no expertise running a news channel.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about what you think. It's about what works. It's about... You know, whether you've got Fox or CNN or even Sky News, they know what the brand is and they know what the audience wants. And a lot of it is giving people what they tune in for, because if not, they'll go somewhere else. This is how...
Global to hyper-local
is
not a great tagline. Yeah.
And I think like, you know, not that we have to get too chin-strokey about it, but you look at something like GB News, look, everyone laughs at it, but some people want confirmation bias. They want to see the thing that they believe.
Yeah.
And that's why people watch it. That's why people engage with that. You know, it's not designed to be a news channel for everyone. And so it's interesting that they're sort of, they seem so bored at the start of the episode that even the prospect of having to rebrand it. Oh, I don't like the cut. I don't like this. And we should get rid of those people. So I think part of Shiv's idea is just, what if we just poke Dad in the eye again and try and fuck him over. But
yeah, it's a weird
You predicted
one.
Sandy and Stewie would come back.
I did.
In some significant way.
Yeah, so the business side of things, so they just want more money. That's all they want. And actually, Logan kind of respects that play when he finds out about it. He's like, yeah, that's smart. Yeah, that's a pretty good thing to want. Matheson phoning Kendall was a surprise.
I didn't
realize they were still in touch. And he looked
Well, he's never
rough.
Been really... I mean, no. Ken knew him. He came to Ken's birthday party, but I thought Roman was the sort of one that had his ear. And so I think what I liked about this episode is there was a few times where between Roman, Ken and Shiv, it was revealed that they all were doing more than they were letting on. And that there was a lot of crossed wires, Roman having texted Logan on his birthday.
It's not very stable.
But I think they're all so, they all lack any conviction. The slightest hint of anything, any turbulence is enough for them to go, you know, they found out that Roman said, happy birthday, Dad, take care, Roman. And Shiv said, we're going to have to look through your whole phone. Like, what?
Exactly.
And it was just like, well, we can't trust you. So I think they're all, the idea of going against the deal is just A, fuck over Dad, B, get more money, and C, like, even if they torpedo the deal, which is what we get the impression from Matheson's call with Kendall.
Yeah.
They don't seem to mind, because I don't think they actually want badly.
I think you're right. They've spent a morning kind of watching the news, and it's like, oh God, this isn't great.
We don't want to run a business.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't want to have to do what Logan does, which is how much are you spending on air conditioning?
Well, that was the message, wasn't it? You know, vision. That was the striking difference was that we got the sense that, you know, Logan getting the taste for the newsroom back, walking around. You know, as much as it was a comedic kind of like play. It's like Jaws if everybody worked for Jaws thing. It was to show that it's in his blood, and the kids have no idea what they want or even how to get it. We'll be back right after a word from our sponsors.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Back to the show. Matheson looked rough.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that was something we were supposed to pick up on, but he was just like, he looked like he put on a bit of weight. He was just like eating bags of Swedish fish and drinking
And bottles
of
Pepsi. Just in a really gross looking vest. He looked like he'd worn that vest like two, maybe more days.
Yeah. He did not look in a great place. And I don't know whether that was something we were supposed to pick up on.
Okay, listen, we've established at this point I'm not a billionaire, okay? We know this. We know this to be true, right?
Okay.
I don't want to speak to how they... Well, look, I've got a bit of money in my ISA. We'll see how
it goes. There will be signs,
Do you FaceTime someone... Do they FaceTime people out of the... Why would you just FaceTime someone at, like, midnight?
You'd phone first and go, can I FaceTime you? Like, you just would not... I would not FaceTime a single person just off the bat.
Off the bat? No. Because no, you wouldn't, would you? You know, it's just weird.
I might do, but I wouldn't expect. I certainly wouldn't expect them to pick up because it's kind of like fuck off.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just weird because like. Also, Ken, that kind of explained to me why Ken had to go all the way to, like, a subway entrance. But I was like, is he on 5G? Wouldn't he have been on the... I honestly just watched it thinking, that is so unrealistic.
Yeah, but they... I mean, they just... I mean, I think it may be a business thing because in real life, IRL, people just don't phone people up willy-nilly anyway.
Yeah.
You text first, you message a couple of times ago.
Maybe it's a way to get his attention because it's like, you can't do this, I can't... You can't take this call in front of your sibling.
Yeah, true. Yes, true. Yeah,
like,
true.
So it's maybe a bit of a power move. But yeah, so he does look a bit rough. He seems irritated by how long it's taking because Logan said, you know, they've broken up Waystar and he's acquiring most of it, but not ATN, the news network. And there was some couple of stray comments in the episode that it was irritating him at how long it was taking.
Well, I think it's just, it all led to the fact, I think, I think we're meant to believe that actually he will walk, and I believe him when he says that. I think that was the whole point of this episode, was that like they're just playing with fire and it's all going to go horribly wrong. They think the kids have got a taste for victory after kind of the Pierce deal, and think they're kind of big shots, but don't quite realise just how precarious their situation is.
Yes. I think they thought the Alliance, because they've been cut out of a lot of the deal-making on this last season, I think they thought it was a lot healthier than it was. And I think seeing how tetchy he is a real gift, because Ken has always wanted to be able to fuck his dad over on a scale this size.
Yeah.
So it's a real welcome invitation. But again, we've got these three siblings that, He doesn't, no one else wants to do that in that point. And so he has to hide the fact that he got that call. And it was kind of done, you know, Stewie and Sandy say, look, we want to object to the sale. Matheson says, if you push this, I will walk. And it sets everything up to be all, I mean, it's got to blow up, right? Like
it feels like a bit of a mid-season finale already. And it's only going to be kind of episode 3, which feels pretty incredible. I did really enjoy his newsroom speech. I thought it showed how good a leader he is. You know, the kind of the difference between Tom's kind of like, hey guys, 3% year on year, but, you know, whereas he got up and he bollocked people. His first thing was like 40% on cost though. What? What's 15 into 40, son? You know, that kind of, but then immediately kind of like, Within 20 seconds, we're fucking pirates!
Yeah.
And like everyone's like, oh my God, yeah.
Even the guy that he yelled at and embarrassed was cheering at the end. Even there went over it. Do you know what? The thing I got from that was he reminds me of Robert Baratheon from Game of Thrones. This proper, like, come into battle with me.
Rabble rouser.
You know, like, do you know what's also interesting, just for any media kind of fans listening to the podcast, is that when Murdoch bought the Wall Street Journal in 2007, he went and did exactly the same thing. He stood on some boxes and gave a speech to the employees. How much do you reckon, just in case you are a guessing man, how much do you reckon he bought the Wall Street Journal for in 2007?
Oh, God. Well, it's either going to be like $1 or $1 billion, isn't it? It's...
$5 billion. So half of what the siblings are trying to buy PGN for.
Wow. Fucking hell.
Yeah. $5 billion. I think that's very interesting, just as a sort of, as a real life parallel to what is happening on the show.
I've been in a room when Rupert Murdoch's done his sweeping, like walking around thing. I have been that guy sending one email and it ain't fun. It's horrible.
Did you feel seen?
I felt it made me feel a little bit sick.
Did you see one guy like had Twitter on his desktop and like minimized it when Logan walked past? I thought that was such a good detail.
That,
yeah, this is what you could just see, like the Twitter homepage, and he's just
beautiful. I love those details.
Those newsrooms, I hate them. Like those big open newsrooms. I had an interview many, many years ago at the Telegraph.
Yeah.
And for a job, I was
the next Bryony Wilson, mate.
Could have been the next Neil McCormack. It was for a job I was vastly, vastly underqualified for. Wait, let me say. And I went in and it was like, it was just mortifying. Everyone just working in the middle of
plain sight. Yeah.
Yeah. What were you laughing at? What were you going to say?
I was just laughing at Twitter and Neil McCormack. Do you remember the, I don't know if I should tell this story.
Go on.
I'll tell the story and then you tell me if I should edit it out.
Okay.
Back in the days when no one knew how to work Twitter properly. Do you remember when everyone would type like send tweet or.
Yeah. Yeah.
Neil McCormack like thought he was texting his wife, but was accidentally tweeting about his anal pains.
Oh my god!
And he was like, and I just can't seem to shake off these anal pains. And everyone was like, "What?" I was like, "Fucking hell, it's amazing." He blocked me because I was just laughing so much.
Did anyone screen grab it?
I'm almost certain that some. In fact, I know we've got a mutual friend who would have absolutely screen grabbed that.
Oh my god, we do. I'll text him later. It's a bit like when Moira Stewart got Twitter and she sent three tweets. The first one was Moira Stewart. The second one was is new to Twitter and is confused. The third one was Moira Stewart, and then she deleted it.
It's just great, isn't it? It's just fucking great.
So loved that.
It's what probably my sons look at my TikTok and go, oh my God. Yeah.
But I thought, yeah, you're right. The scene at the newsroom was interesting. It also just feels like the last days of Rome, right? Like he's trying to do this rabble rousing speech and, you know, it's a different era. Like people are wearing quarter zip sweatshirts. They're wearing trainers. Like Sid is nowhere to be seen because Tom threw her under the bus.
Massive hands. Yeah.
Yeah, but Tom said, you know, she doesn't stay late during opera season.
Oh,
like,
God, that was great. But she was there, though. She did turn up.
But, you know, just like Tom, when she found out he was coming in, he turned the car around. I feel like we haven't really spent much time in that office. I guess maybe last season, just because of COVID, they didn't do much filming.
Yeah, I guess.
They wouldn't have had any of the people. But so the deal is tenuous, right? We know that. Yeah. And I mean, it's sort of a fool's errand to think after last episode that it was really going to lead to the siblings having their own media company, which is kind of what they constantly set you up to expect things. And then they go, no, that's probably not going to happen now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's leading up for a massive fall. big shout out to my favorite moment of the whole episode was Hugo's laptop. Oh my God. It was on par with the dick pic. It was just not quite as severe as the dick pic, but it was brilliantly written, brilliantly performed. It was that thing where, you know, they allowed the viewers to join the dots about 5 seconds before it actually played out. So you knew the laptop was shut and I loved it because it was such a specific technical thing. That everyone knows is going to happen is that the second he opens the laptop lid just a little bit, it's going to start playing again
exactly
from where he left
exactly
off. And it was just
but I yeah I mean I obviously as an armchair critic, I thought first thing you do when he comes in the room is you hit mute, right? You hit mute. That gives you time to close the window. And then
it was a bit of a rookie error, but he's old.
It was,
you know,
he is. And also, listen, I'd be doing that on WhatsApp. I'd be doing that on WhatsApp, not on the work computer.
This is true. Yeah,
it's Jerry got the brunt of this though. Later in the episode,
Jerry's
Logan,
out. She's fucked. She's out of.
But is it because he said that Jerry told him a joke? Frank said like Jerry sort of said something funny, and so Logan thinks.
You see, I don't know. No, because he said something else in that scene where. He's like, what's the matter? You can't wait for me to get rid of me or something. I think Jerry's been maybe a part of the deal where Matheson gets Jerry to run things. I think Jerry's going to get...
Oh, that's a really... Yeah, like she'll be like chief operating officer.
Yeah, I think she's going to stay with and look after whatever properties Matheson gets. I think
that's what... Yeah, you're right.
So she's kind of like... She's
but also, the Greek chorus, as I call the kind of lackeys that... You know, the executives, Frank, Carl, whatever. Every episode, their stock goes up and down. It's sort of like just the way it is at this place, right? One day you're called a fucking cunt. The next day you're in the inner circle. So I think you're completely right. I also think, hey, tomorrow she's probably, he'll be like, get me Jerry, like get her in the room kind of thing. But yeah, she's clearly, I think he's feeling very paranoid. I think he's not sure who he can trust.
Well, he's standing over the precipice, isn't he? Like looking at a brave new dawn where he's got this fucking newsroom that's costing him a fortune. Mm-hmm. He's not going to have Jerry anymore, who's always been like his, like, and instead he's got Kerry, who he now, I think, realizes is just a bit of a star fucker and just wants to be on telly. He's kind of like, got it. So he's like, well, who are my people? Which is why we end up right at the end with him calling Roman. But before we get to that bit, we have like the amazing kind of like bonding of the kids where Connor just wants to go to karaoke because he's never been to a karaoke bar before and he's seen it in the films. But before that, he wants to go to a bar where people have sweat on their hands and blood in their hair. And it was just like, oh, it was beautiful. It was just...
I loved how out of place they looked in the bar.
Just trying to order drinks. They didn't even know how to order from a bar.
And he said, nothing pretentious, just a wheat beer.
Yeah, no, not Hogarden. That was it. What normal people drink? Just a wheat beer, but not Hogarden.
You know, there's a bit of background where Shiv's like, a glass of house red? Do I dare? But they just look... Even Kendall, who's in his, you know, incognito paramilitary get-up, you know, with his neutrals and his baseball cap, even he just looked so out of place. And
they just cannot mingle with normal people.
No.
Even the karaoke bar that they ended up going to, that's not Lucky Voice.
Oh, it looked plush, didn't it?
Where is that karaoke bar? It was like something out of Blade Runner.
It was so, it looked like something out of, like, I thought, yeah, in like Japan.
Yeah.
There's sort of tasteful mood lighting and stuff.
Can we talk about Kendall's, Connor's song of choice?
Leonard Cohen?
No, I thought it was Desperado by the Eagles, wasn't it?
I don't know. I didn't recognise it.
What he asked for at the beginning, wasn't it? I don't know if that's what he sang.
I thought that's what Roman asked for, Desperado.
Oh, hang on a second. Let me have a look. Hang on a second. No, you were right. It was, sorry, I beg your pardon. It was Leonard Cohen's famous Blue Raincoat. I've never heard of that song.
I was expecting, when I sort of saw they were going to karaoke, I was expecting a completely different sort of scene. I was expecting something a bit more upbeat.
Yeah, I was expecting a bit of Lizzo or something like that.
Mark Ronson or something, like, you know, like Uptown Funk or something.
That would still be on brand for Connor.
But this is the thing though, right? Like, none of them will listen to music.
No, precisely.
So they go to this bar and it is, you know, they go to a private room, beautiful, there's loads of champagne and they are all just so depressed, like sitting around. And then, yeah, they get the call that, dad's on the way.
Karaoke isn't something that it's the whole thing of, they don't know how to have fun like normal people. That's what I got from that. It's kind of like, come on, let's just go to this normal bar. Let's just go to normal karaoke. And it's just like, they're just sat there going, fucking hell, fire. This is just like, what is this thing? This is how do you do this? It's like they just could not function.
And especially like, yeah, the person who was having the least amount of fun was Connor, and it was his idea. Yeah. I think it's like they're such performative at what do regular people do? That they're like, this is what you do at karaoke, you sing a sad song, and it's just not fun for any of them, you know?
Yeah.
And yet they've probably spent a fortune getting the room. They've spent thousands of pounds on champagne and they're just like numb to it.
They may as well not. Yeah. I'm just reading the lyrics to the Leonard Cohen song that he sang. There's a line in there. And what can I tell you, my brother, my killer? What can I possibly say? I guess that I miss you. I guess I forgive you. I'm glad you stood in my way, which is quite an interesting thing.
Yeah. I wonder if there was any other songs that they considered when they were writing that scene.
Well, if we ever got a member of the cast or Jesse Armstrong on the podcast, HBO, Premier, Sky, hello, come on, we could ask.
Let's talk about the big scene, because we haven't seen the five of them together.
For a long time.
I don't even really think we saw them all together at the wedding last
season. Maybe the last time, were they all on the boat? Were they all? Yeah. Were they all at Kendall? Maybe Kendall's birthday party. Were they all there then? No, Logan wasn't there, was he?
Logan was. I don't know when they were all together, but it was big, you know.
It must have been the boat. It must have been the boat.
It was, So the thing I think is interesting. Do you think earlier in the episode Logan cancels the helicopter? He revokes their access to the helicopter.
That's
so
right.
They can't get to the rehearsal.
Just to be spiteful.
That he does something to give him something light to apologize for. Because that's his first thing. Is that, sorry about that. That was wrong.
Oh, so you think it was all just like a premeditated thing?
It's like a slight, and it's an easy thing to apologize.
It's an easy thing to say sorry for. Yeah, I'd not thought of that, but yeah, that sounds like it, you know, it could be. I mean, this all boils down to whether or not we believe Logan's contrition in this scene. Do you believe it?
That's a good question. I think he is sorry, but I don't think he's capable of processing how much damage he's caused his kids. That's kind of my view of it, that like he has had an awful influence on their lives. I don't think it's massively intentional.
It's interesting that Shiv could only pick out something that happened today though for her. Like with Romans, it was like you beat him as a child. You've ignored Connor his whole life.
Yeah. Well, I think Shiv's been treated relatively well, but she has been treated like all the other women, quite perfunctory compared to the men. And she's been out of his she's been out of his orbit as an adult. You know, she worked in politics and sort of campaign work, so she's got less. I thought all of this was really interesting as it came to like which of them can separate their professional grievances with their familial grievances.
Yeah.
Shiv's got a lot less in that camp because she hasn't worked with Logan that much. It's always about what she's been denied and it's about a lack of something.
Yeah.
Whereas for Roman, I mean, Roman, yeah, we know that he was beaten. We also know Logan was beaten a lot. There was scars on his back in a shot very early on. I think like something that I was thinking about when I rewatched the first episode of the season. So after we recorded last week, I watched it again with Rob. You know, like it does get to the point on the final season where you're sort of like, okay, what is this about? Like, what's the show about? Obviously it's about rich people. It's about being super wealthy is awful. But like, I think shows can get quite existential near the end because they're sort of going like, well, what was it all about?
Yeah. It's the creators going, this is what my vision was. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the story we've been telling the whole time, but you've actually just thought we were telling you a story about something else. And I do think, I thought it last week, I think it even more so after this episode, because they brought up the beatings. I think it is really a story about abuse and neglect. And Logan's like weaponized against his kids, because he was abused as a kid and he was beaten and it never goes away. It's a constant cycle of the kids getting awful treatment and then getting over it and going back. And we saw it again at the end of the episode. Roman breaks the Rebel Alliance, goes back to his dad. And so I do think that seems to be what they're getting at. It seems a lot weightier this season than last season was a little more light on its feet. Yeah. And I think it just feels like, it feels really important. So back to your question, does he mean it? I think he does mean he's sorry, but I just don't think he understands the extent of the harm he's caused, essentially.
Yeah, I think he just thinks it's kind of like, well, just get over it, you know, which is quite old school, an old school way of thinking about it. I also think it was also his last ditch. He was just like, right, I'm going to give you, this is your last chance now, because otherwise I'm really going to tell you what I think. Now, I loved that bit. I loved that episode because that scene, because he really got to them. It's like, we had everything else. You fucking lost. Congratulations on picking the biggest number, you fucking morons. All of that stuff was like, water off duck's back. They were kind of like, when they were like listening, when they said that, Shiv was like, ha ha ha. Like they're all like laughing at each other. When he turned around and just says, because he spoke the truth to them and it was so well done, where he was just like, I love you, but you're not serious people.
And
it was just like, fucking brutal. just absolutely destroyed them because they know deep down that they're just pretending at play. They're just playing at this.
And they can say the bigger number, but they cannot run a news organization.
Yeah.
And they don't want to.
No.
They don't want to do that. They don't even want to do their startup that is the New Yorker meets Substack meets Superdrug meets Topshop. They don't want to do that either.
No.
But it's like they're stuck in this cycle where they think they're successful and they're not. And not, none of them are successful. Shiv maybe arguably was successful in a different field. She's given that up. The episode also I checked during our recording is called The Serious People.
Is it? Oh, brilliant.
But yeah, I mean, it was the most devastating thing he could say.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is someone who is like outbursts, is violent, he screams. It was the most calm thing he said. I love you, but you're not serious people.
Yeah. It was just such a...
I think it really got under their skin as well.
Yeah. I mean, when they left, you could, you know, Shiv's reaction was just... Yeah, she was hurt by that because it was just like, oh, fuck, he's really seen through us.
And it's just... I think, like, one of the other thoughts I had is just that, because I don't know how this show is going to end, but it's mutual destruction of this company, because...
Well, that's what I was going to ask next. It's like, okay, you know, at the end of season one, we had our theories. At the end of episode one, we had our theories. What about now? What do you think is going to happen?
They fuck up Waystar to try and get back at their dad, and none of them are left with a great deal at all. They'll be left with something.
Well...
But it will completely break apart.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, I can't see it ending any other way, really. I think the Matheson deal's doomed. I cannot see a way that goes. Maybe Roman goes with Matheson. But whatever. I mean, the three of them as a unit are now toast because Roman will be unveiled as being a Waystar guy. Very early on the next episode. Hang on a sec. That means the Matheson deal will go ahead.
Yeah.
Because
until it doesn't, right? It's just so hard to say. I feel like the day-to-day of the business stuff.
But Roman's vote is that Roman has the casting vote.
Oh, because they have a revolt if they
have the revolt
vote.
Clause right, with all of them did.
Yeah.
But I think without, so they had Stewie, they had,
Sandy,
Shiv and Kendall and Roman. I think that was the trigger clause, but without Roman, I think they probably don't.
Cause I think boards have 12, don't they? So you need six.
You can have as many people on the board as you want.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. That is going to. The revolt's kind of been killed in its tracks.
Yeah.
But the Matheson deal, it might not happen. I just feel like it's going to end. They're all still in and around Waystar. I don't think anyone's going anywhere. But I think what they have fought for is just like, you know, is diminished. But
it's going to be great. All of that and a wedding that Logan really doesn't care about.
That he's not going to be there for, which is such a fuck you.
Well, it's in New York, isn't it? The wedding. I think it's one of those things where it's just like, I'm just going to go off for an hour. I'll be back in an hour. You
know, yeah. Yeah. Well, Logan's ex-wife's wedding, the season three finale, it was like, is he going to be here? We have to start without him, you know, cause he was busy doing deals.
And he
somehow
managed to have that kind of like, you know, activity center, like the business suite built.
Yeah. That 50 villa. Laptops set up. Yeah.
Ah, amazing. I can't wait. It's I'm really enjoying it. It's great. It's a really good episode.
It's just barreling ahead. I also thought Kieran Culkin was great. You know, he's the most susceptible, I think, in this to Logan. And I think he was won back quite effectively, you know?
Yeah.
It's just all cylinders, isn't it? It's just so much fun to watch.
Yeah. And the fact that no one really knows what's going to happen or has any clue as to which way it's going, you know, it just makes it all the best, all the better. Let us know what you think, everybody. We're a quarter of the way through. No, a fifth of the way through.
10 episodes this season.
What are your theories? Have we missed out on anything? What's your favorite bits? Has there been another someone closing a Twitter page on a web screen that we missed? I love all those little details.
Yeah, if anyone has any Easter eggs, any yeah. details, any theories? Because I do think, like, when I did the second watch last week, I picked up on so much more.
Yeah.
And we were saying just the other day that, like, there is not a line of dialogue wasted. And so sometimes I'm a bit like, oh, I didn't quite catch that, or I didn't kind of... So if people listening do sort of pick up on stuff, they've, please let us know, because we, yeah, just want to hear as much as we can.
And if you're listening, HBO, release the full version of Kerry's audition, please, on social media, because that would be fucking amazing. The whole unadulterated thing would be pretty amazing to watch. Get in touch at Dragon at dragoncast_pod, or email us dragoncast@daftdoris.com. We'll be back next week for another Sound of Succession for season 4, episode 3. Which I'm very much looking forward to. You're also going to get your Dragoncast episode tomorrow, which will be season six, episode 10, The Winds of Winter. And we are, I promise, eventually going to get around to doing the OA final two episodes.
Yes, we can confirm that I finished it this week. Sent Jamie the most deranged voice note I think he's ever received from me.
It was great. It was great. It was... But more of that. Don't reveal any more on that. We will get to the OA this week as well. Fingers crossed. Right. But listen, thanks very much for listening. We've had loads of emails and stuff. We'll talk about all the emails that you've very kindly sent in, or the tweets that you kindly sent in on the Dragoncast episode. Just to look at that teasing ahead. Until then, what can we use? What was a quote?
I don't like ending with fuck off. I think it's a bit vulgar.
Okay. Oh, I'll check you out. All right. let's... how about we'll see you next week, you needy love sponges. How's that?
I like it.
This is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mendel. It's part of the Dragoncast series, where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us.
You know what to do, like and subscribe. Ah, fuck off.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.